And often he talked in stories, didn't he? We use the word parables. But Jesus quite often talked in stories so that people could understand what he had to say. There's nothing worse than leaving a room and you haven't got a Scooby-Doo what someone's been talking about. And so you do what the Churchill dog, when people ask you, you just keep doing this. You're pretending that you're understanding, but we're not understanding. But our God's not like that. I think God is a God who wants to guide us gently and encourage us that everything that he wants us to do is for a purpose and a reason. And it's all for our blessing. That's the wonderful God that we have. I think sometimes we need to go back to being children. Because seriously, we just complicate life too easy. No, we do. You know, children are not complicated in the fact of what they believe and what they trust. And you heard Philip today talk about prayer in his own way. But at least he had an answer. Come on, he had an answer. You know, they just don't have any inhibitions. They trust what you say. How many know that God does answer prayer? How many's experienced an answered prayer? What, my love?
And she said to me, "Mom, your prayers are being answered. He's got a job and he's sticking with it."
Let's give God a claw. Let's come on. What we've just done is actually, we've just given God a praise clap, which is wonderful, isn't it? You know, it's wonderful to say, "God, thank you." And he does. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. How many of you have had prayers which have been unanswered? How many of them have stopped praying altogether because he never gave you the prayer that you wanted to give? That's good. There's no hands going up. Whether that's an embarrassment. Whether that's an embarrassment or not, no. How many, though, pray 3, 4, 5, 6 times every day? Oh, Bits has got a hand up. June, oh, great, great. You do, Kevin, do you? Listen, I want to give you some quotes to encourage you. This whole series is going to be about prayer, but it's going to be very much of you talking to me and me talking to you. And I hope you're going to like this way of engaging with prayer, because I need to know where you are in prayer and how we can help you to pray to God. The enemy hates you praying. It hates you doing two P's, prayer and praise. Because praise, the Bible says, silences the enemy. It shuts him up. And prayer, he hates, because you're actually engaging with God. So, I'm going to put some quotes up what some famous people said about prayer. I want you all to look at the first one I put up, and then I want you to say amen, even if you don't believe it. Okay, so the very first one is very, very important. The first quote. In case you can't read it, if the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Amen. You agree with that, Hill? So I'm not going to get sacked at the present time at the moment. It's true, though, isn't it? The pastor's not good at this. The pastor doesn't do that right this morning. The pastor hasn't done that. Right, well, instead of complaining to someone, pray to someone. Amen? Amen? And let's see what God has to say. You can do more than prayer after you have prayed. But you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. I got my... Dennis, that was a bit tongue-twisted for me. I had to sit and analyse that. It looked to me a bit Irish. But I don't know whether it is. Does anybody understand that in its simplicity? It's a bit of a tongue-twister, isn't it? I put that on because I knew it would keep you awake. For no other reason than to keep you all awake. But listen... God does nothing except in response to believe in prayer. John Wesley. The Bible says in the book of James, prayer changes everything. But it says, if you're praying, don't be like a ship tossed to and fro, because your prayers will never be answered, because that's like your faith. One day it might happen. And then the next day it's going to happen. The Bible says, if you pray for something, believe that God has heard your prayer and God will answer your prayer. Now, let's go back what we said. That doesn't mean to say he'll answer the prayer the way that you have asked. You just know that God will answer prayer. And it says the reason why some of us are not hearing prayers answered is because we're like a ship. Our emotions are, one day I believe it will happen. The next day he doesn't care. It isn't going to happen. And God says, I want you to be consistent. That only believe. Only believe. All things are if you only believe. We have to find out where God wants. Rick Warren says this. Father, help me to do today what you are blessing. Think about it. Father, help me to do today what you are blessing. In other words, he's quite saying, God, I want to fit in with your agenda today. I don't want to fit in with my agenda. Because if my agenda isn't God's agenda, it ain't going to be blessed. What does God want us to do each day? We find the answer in prayer. Prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the pieces. I like that one. Prayer strikes the winning blow. Just in case some of you were thinking the story with the owl this morning should have been sticks and stones. No, it isn't. It's prayer. The most important thing a born-again Christian can do is what? The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failures and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And what will he do? What does God want to do in prayer? He wants to show us great and mighty things which we don't know. Hudson Taylor. And he was a great man who changed China. A missionary man who changed China. But it was a man at one time who wasn't really sure of his own calling. But God revealed. And he became a mighty man of God. And this is not me, by the way, Brother Lawrence. Okay? There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Brother Lawrence was a monk and one of the most outstanding men of God you will ever come across. If you can get anything written by him, you need to really read it. An awesome man of God. I asked you the question, some of you pray 5 and 6 times a day. Now, I'm sure you didn't fall on your knees 5 or 6 times a day when you pray. You don't, do you? You can pray when you're driving. You can pray when you're at work. You can pray in every situation. Prayer is not closing your eyes and doing this. That isn't prayer. Prayer is just talking to God naturally. You know? While us men are doing the washing up, and the women are sitting on the sofa watching all these soaps, Father, I just bind them in the name of Jesus. Seriously, you can. You can be praying with rubber gloves on. Now, can't you? You can be praying. You can pray for marigolds. When I pray, you answer me. I want to give you an illustration. This is a true story. I've written it down so I don't misquote it. There were 5 young college students and they were spending a Sunday in London. So they went to hear the famous C.H. Spurgeon. Anybody heard of Spurgeon? Yeah. Well, anyway, they went to hear this famous preacher. While they were waiting for the door to open, the students were greeted by a man who said, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant in our church?" They said, "Well, we're not particularly interested. It's a boiling hot day. We certainly don't want to go into a boiler room." And the gentleman insisted. So the young men were taken down the stairway, and the door was quietly opened, and their guide answered to them, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to begin. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself as none other than Charles Spurgeon. That was the heating room for their church. Charles Spurgeon used to call it his boiler room. 700 people on a Sunday morning gathered in a little room praying to God that God would just anoint the service and the pastor. See, Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, realized that his gift wasn't in him. His gift was the people that were backing him up in prayer. And prayer does change things. And there are three things as we close this morning. When you are praying, you are first of all having a conversation with God. The second thing is, when you pray, you are using a powerful weapon. And the third thing is, when you pray, you get a strategy from God. You get a plan from God. There are three things. Let me just repeat them for you. When you pray, you are having a conversation with God. You are using a powerful weapon. And you get a strategy from God. And we just want to look at those three things in just a few moments. And then next week, we're not having an Oasis service. We are starting. And we're going to be starting our series on prayer, as I say, from a great man of God called Alan Redpath. And we will be looking at how we can be victorious in Christian prayer. Right. We are told to have a conversation with God. Now, I want to see you bright young people at the back. Come on, this is supposed. This is done from a Twitter. Somebody sent this as a text message. You're all supposed to be able to understand. Us guys, like Junior, well, we're past that age. We can't understand this modern technology. Dennis seems to be clicking his fingers. Anybody know what that is? Come on, Kay. You're supposed to be an upright teacher. You're supposed to be in the in thing. Anybody know what it is? Oh, just a minute. Have we got a microphone here? Yeah, have we got a microphone? Wendy says, I'm very hip.
I've only gone so far.
Oh, never mind.
Dad at heaven, you are special. We want what you want at earth what? To be like heaven. Give us food and give us your sin. Oh, forgive us our sins like we forgive others. Don't test us. Save us, because we know you're boss, you're tough, and you're cool forever, okay?
Oh, well done. Now, Junior, I want you to stand up every morning like this, and I want you to do this. Okay, Dad. Okay, now, I'm not. I'm going to do it the traditional way. How about you, Pam? You and I will do it the traditional way, because we're square. Okay? But listen, we're told to pray, but it noticed, your kingdom come. What is the main essential thing with a conversation with God is you're saying, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Does that mean in the world today? Does that mean in your personal life? What does that mean? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Already in earth as it is in heaven. God wants to establish something in earth that he's already established in heaven, because that's what it sounds like to me. So God's established something in heaven that he would like something established on earth. And this tells us immediately that prayer has one major purpose. It's to seek and to secure the will of God. Prayer is answered only when it is in the will of God. And what does the Bible say? Let's read it. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to our basic level of prayer and understanding as part one conversation with God is to come to God and say, God, whatever happens, your will be done. There was a young man, got saved, and he had a dream, and his dream was that he was sitting on the bus, and he was dragged off the bus, and he was shot for being a Christian. And he went to his pastor, and he told his pastor this, and his pastor was trying to say, well, it could just be a dream, and he was trying to give him lots and lots of reasons. And the young man was saying, no, you don't get it, do you? He says, I get a chance to die for God. He says, you get a chance that this is what I believe God wants for my life. He wants me to give my life up for him. And the pastor, recalling this, said he left my room with a big smile on his face. He says, you don't get it. I get to do God's will. I get to die for Jesus. 2 weeks later, that happened. He was dragged off the bus and he was shot. Now, that is a fairly example of someone who was obedient to the will of God to the point of death. I know it's an extreme story, and don't, you know, God isn't going to give dreams like that, hopefully, to us all. What I'm trying to say is that that dream was not a dream. He knew God was speaking to him through the power of conversation with him in a dream, and he was prepared not to say, God, don't do that. He was prepared to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. God had decreed that in heaven, and he was quite happy to allow that to be established on earth. That's powerful. That's powerful. We know Jonah couldn't do that. When Jonah was told by God to do something, what did Jonah do? He was not prepared to establish what God had decreed in heaven to be decreed on earth. Because God had decreed that the city of Nineveh would be saved. And 120,000 people would not die. God had established it in heaven. He needed someone, though, to establish it on. And so Jonah ran away. Now, did Jonah run away from God, and that was the end of the story? Let me tell you something. Running away from God is never the end of the story. Never the end of the story. I'm not saying you're going to be swallowed by a whale. But what I am saying is this. If God has called you for something, God will pursue that call. Because he wants to establish his purpose for your life here on earth. I believe that's good news, not bad news. Now, I don't know where my life is going to take me, but I have to believe that whatever God wants to establish on earth for me is the best place for me to be. Is the best place for me to be. So it is no good, my first point, my conversation with God, if I'm not prepared to say to God, your will be done. I'll be serious with you in prayer. Remember the quote in prayer. Prayer only happens when it's a believing prayer. It's a believing prayer. And we need to understand that God has already, and this is fantastic news, already planned out your life. There's not many hallelujahs, but God's planned your life. Oh, come on, this is not a game of chance. There are no coincidences for you, my friend. God has planned your life. And he wants that life to be a rich life of blessing. And he wants to establish what he's done. The problem is, we've also established our plans on earth. And sometimes, they run quite different to God. And we'd prefer to run our way, is to run God's way. And I'm here as a testimony to tell you that I did that and it don't work. It causes pain, causes heartache, it causes sleepless nights, because I ran away from God. But I'm so grateful that God didn't run away from me. But I just wonder, all the years that I've lost because I did not come under his will and his kingdom for me. And I don't want that to happen to anyone here. I want you to have the confidence that God has established something here on earth for you today, Wendy. And he wants it to be fulfilled. That's what he wants. He wants you to be fulfilled. So prayer's a conversation with God, but let's do an illustration. I want us to do an illustration. I want you to try and tell me what is wrong with this prayer.
You never believe what happened to me today. Came home from school and my parents said that we're moving. I'm moving. We have to move because my father hates being here in Wales.
Yeah, I know, but
go back to Birmingham of all places. Birmingham, we've already lived there. him.
Yeah, can I just...
Wasn't my parents thinking of? They weren't thinking about me, were they? They were just thinking about him and my dad and how my dad is. I'd rather we were here in Wales any day than being in Birmingham.
I know, but can I just...
City. Oh, I just don't want to stay here. What am I going to do?
Well, can I just... What's wrong with this? With this prayer? Absolutely. I can't get a word in Edgeridge. And I picked a woman just purely for an example, Simon. So don't you look at that where you look there. All right? That was a pure illustration of how we talk to God. No, seriously. Let's do that once more and think of yourself. You are now praying to God and God is trying to get into this place. Let's do that once more because this is exactly what prayer is.
I got home from school today and found out that we're moving. My father had to go back to Birmingham. I mean, what are my parents thinking about? They weren't thinking about my feelings.
Can you see she's asked four questions? There's four questions there. She's only done two lines. There's no pause for breath, is there? I'm being serious. We rattle out to God in our prayer time, things like that, and we do not stop to give God an opportunity to get a word in edgeways. And I'm being really serious here. There's two points. One point, prayer is a conversation with God. I want to tell you two things this morning, just on our first point. One, you must come believing that God has established something in your young life. You must believe that God has a plan for your life. And that you personally want to know that plan and live it out. That's your number one point in life. The second one is, when you come to God with stuff like this, there was nothing wrong with a prayer, was there? No. There was nothing wrong with this prayer, except that you would rather be in Wales. God forbid, but you would rather be in Wales. Now, that to me was the only problem with the prayer. Okay, thank you, Eunice. Right? Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong to saying, God, I'm in serious pain. And if you're in serious pain, you're in serious pain. God, I am struggling financially. God, God, I need a job. But we need to stop at the point of inquiry to listen to God, what he has to say. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is very, very difficult. First time I tried it, I fell asleep. No, I did. And then someone said, well, why don't you start with 5 minutes? So I did my prayer to God, and then I sat, and I'll tell you what I did. I put my clock on, I put my timer on. And I sat for 5 minutes in pure silence to God. Just wanting to hear what he has to say. And I tell you, God speaks. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It will take time to develop this pattern of giving God an opportunity to speak. It won't just happen overnight. But when God sees that you are willing to come under his will, and you haven't got a shopping list, that you've got a point in life where you say, God, I don't know what you want to do with my life. But I want you to tell me. And I believe we then need to sit in silence. I really do. Because prayer is a two-way conversation. You talk, God listens. He's a gentleman. But when God talks, what should you be doing? Well, seriously. God wants to talk, but very rarely gets the chance to talk. Because after we have given our prayer request to God, it's thank you, Jesus, amen. And we're off on another pursuit of something else. Now, that's true, isn't it? The first point about prayer, it is a conversation with God. I'm going to have to really push on. But it is a powerful weapon. Let me just put them up for you. Second of all, when you're praying, not only are you having a conversation with God, but you are uniting with him. Isn't this wonderful? You are a mighty weapon. Say it. You are a mighty weapon. You are co-heirs with Christ. Look at what it says. Build up your faith. But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You are a weapon. Amen. You are a weapon, but You can change England. You can change your situation through prayer. The politicians may not be able to get us out of this economic mess. I tell you who can. The believers of God can when they're praying to God that God will break the darkness in this land and we return back to God and the way that God wants us. Our economic structure, our knife crime and all our drug crime will drop. You are a powerful, powerful weapon. You see, when we are praying what God wants, we are co-heirs with God. It says where two or three agree. When you're agreeing with God's will, we're a powerful weapon. We are a shareholder. And listen, you do get dividends. It isn't financial, it's prayers being answered. It's seeing the power of God released in our nation and our healing coming into our nation. When they asked Billy Graham's daughter about the disaster that happened in America, she said this. She says, I do believe God is brokenhearted over the atrocities that have just happened with the Twin Towers. She says, I also believe he was brokenhearted the day you said to God, get out of my school. The day you said to God, get out of my parliament. The day you said to God, get out of my excuse me, out of my lives. God wants our nation to be the most prosperous nation in the world. But we've walked away from God. But you and me together can turn our nation around by prayer. We can do it. Which saddens me why Tuesday night gone, 8 people out. If it gets any lower, I'll be meeting with myself. And I looked around that room on Tuesday night and I said to myself, in 10 years' time, should God not have come, all of us in this little room tonight will be 10 years older, obviously. How many of us would still be with God, we don't know, alive? Where would our prayer meeting be? Where would our prayer meeting be? Now, I'm not being funny, am I? None of us are getting younger. The 8 people here that came to that prayer meeting, my wife will probably be the youngest. Oh, sorry, Sandra, you were there, my love. Yeah, you're 60.
No, I'm
not. I'm 51. Oh, sorry, yes. Okay, I'm going to carry on with this next week. I just wanted to... We're going to go into the strategy from God and things like that next week. And we'll talk about the rewards of prayer next week. I'm just trying to encourage you that we can change our nation. We can change the way our situation is. We do it when we communicate with God in prayer. And by the end of the series, we will know how to pray. But there's two things I want you to do this week at 12:15. There's one, every time you go to God in prayer this week, please go believing that all things are possible. Please. And the second thing, say to God, my will be done. Is that what you want God to say? My will be done. Thank you. God, I come to you and I believe that you're a God answering God. I believe all things are possible. And I come to you this morning, or this afternoon, or wherever you are, and Father, I want to do what you are blessing today. What is your will that's been established in heaven? Because, Father, that's where I want to be. And God will reveal his revelation through prayer, and your life will be ever so much easier. So, go to God believing in prayer, and two, say to God, thy will be done. Amen. Thy kingdom come in my life. You've mapped it out in heaven. I'd like to see it manifested on earth. Wouldn't you like to know your life manifested on earth the way God wants it? Yes. Eh? I do. That doesn't mean to say I want to know what's going to happen in 10 years' time. No, I don't want to know what's going to happen in 10 years' time. I just want to know what's going to happen on Monday morning. What is God's will for my life tomorrow morning? Will it be established? I hope it will. I'll believe and I'll allow him to do it.